Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. That's the proclamation of the church, my brothers and sisters, throughout the centuries. On Easter morning, when the liturgist would cry out, Alleluia, Christ is risen, the people of God would reply, the Lord is risen indeed, Alleluia. I want you to say that with me now. The Lord is risen indeed, Alleluia. I don't think you believe it. The Lord is risen indeed, Alleluia. I still don't think you believe it. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. That is a proclamation of faith, my friends. It's not just a proclamation of empty belief, of passive assent, of belief that takes you nowhere. It is a proclamation of faith. Faith that has molded the church, molded believers, molded Christians for centuries, for almost 2,000 years. The proclamation that the Lord is risen indeed, alleluia, is a proclamation of faith that changes broken and hurting lives, that changes the world, that changes us, and can change the whole universe. The proclamation of Resurrection Day, the proclamation of Easter Sunday is this: we are not alone. In this God's world, we live with Christ Jesus our Lord in our midst, that He defeated sin and death and brings us life eternal. And we are called to affirm it with faith, to not just believe it with our brains, but to believe it with our hearts and with our bodies, and in so believing, place it into action. We see the action here in the reading today. Mary Magdalene has come to the tomb. She finds it empty. At first she's afraid that someone has come and stolen the Lord. She goes and tells Peter and the other disciple, and they go to running. Out of love, they are concerned that something has happened here. They suspect, they hope, they have a desire to see that something good has happened. Not that the body's been stolen, but that he's been raised. But they're not sure about this. They haven't yet got their brains around it or their hearts. So they go running. The beloved disciple gets there. Peter shows up. They look inside. They see the tomb is empty. Peter goes in, and the beloved disciple enters. And it says in a passage that is very powerful indeed, he saw and believed. That word believed gives us trouble because of what follows. What did he believe? If you read the next verse in many translations, it reads as follows. For as yet, they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Huh? If they believed, then how can this be the case? If they believed, then what does this mean? Equally possible in translation from the Greek original. It could read, and he saw and believed. For not until then did they understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. That's a valid alternate translation, in my opinion, even better than what you find in the NRSV and in the NIV and in many other translations. For not until then. Not until that moment when they saw the empty tomb, when they saw the empty grave clothes, when they saw that there was no body and no remains at all. At that moment, faith was sparked alive, at least in the beloved disciple. That word believed, in all English translations, is weak. The belief is not that the body had been stolen. The belief is that Jesus had been raised. And that belief calls forth more than just a passive assent. It calls forth action. And that's what faith is about. Faith is not passive, my brothers and sisters. Faith is belief in action. Belief in motion. Belief that draws you to do something, to respond, to act, to reach out, to serve, to proclaim, to take the belief and act on it. That's the essence of the word here. The Greek word is the verb pistuo. English doesn't have a verb for faith. We say believed. We say trusted. Let's make the verb up. I've done it many times before. It's been done for years. He saw and faithed. He took his belief and placed it into action. Chris, bring me a chair. Any chair. Put it right here. It's nice having someone do something for you. You know what? That looks like a pretty good chair. Looks solid. Sounds solid. Has a cushy back and a cushy bottom for my posterior. You know what? I think that would hold my weight. I really believe that chair will support me. I believe it with my mind, and I've experienced other chairs just like it in the past supporting me. Indeed, the way we move chairs around in here, it's possible I've sat in this chair before. I have reasons to believe the chair will support me. I trust that the chair will support me. I think that the chair will support me, but you know what? I think I'm going to go over here and sit in John's lap instead. He nearly moved. Did you see that? Is that faith? No, it's not faith. It's belief that the chair will hold me. It's more faith than John's lap, that it wouldn't move from underneath me. But it's not faith in the chair. Faith in the chair is to take the belief that it will hold me, take the belief that it will support me, and put that belief into action by actually sitting down in the chair. That's faith, my friends. Taking the belief, and putting it into action. Taking the belief and acting upon it. Taking the belief and throwing my life into it. Taking the belief and living it. The Christian faith is not passive. The Christian faith is not passive. It's active. I don't think I can say that enough. It's not just standing here and contemplating the chair and saying it's a pretty chair, it's an interesting chair, it's a chair that can be dressed up and made look really interesting. It's a chair that can be moved around. We can philosophize about the chair. We can think about the chair. We can describe the chair. We can accessorize the chair with covers and stuff. We can give the chair neat names. We can put a plaque on the chair. We can do all sorts of things with the chair. But until we actually do something with the chair that connects with our belief with it, it's meaningless. Until we actually go and sit in the chair, we don't have faith that it will hold us. Until we take our belief and put it into action, we don't have faith. So many Christians, my brothers and sisters, spend their Christian lives talking about belief, describing belief, giving it accessories, giving it definitions, making it look pretty, making it look interesting, but not acting on it. So many people will describe the chair and their belief in it, but they won't put the belief into action. We are called. As Christians, we are called to put our belief in Jesus into action. We are called to put our belief in His life, in His death, in His resurrection, in His ascension, in His real presence here today. We are called to put it all into action. We're not called to sit there and do nothing. We're called to act. And until we do, we're not being faithful to the gospel. Until we do, we don't really believe in the resurrection. Until we do, we can't proclaim the Lord is risen indeed, alleluia, and mean it. We are called as members of the body of Christ to proclaim our faith, to act in belief, act in faith. We're called to take our belief and place it into motion. And that means more than just sitting in chairs, sitting on committees, doing good works for the good works' sake. It means taking the faith that we have in God, in Jesus Christ our Lord, in His life, death, and resurrection, in His continuing real presence here today, taking that belief, that faith, and then moving forward and acting because we believe. Acting because Jesus is with us and within us. Acting because God has called us to act. We as the family of God are so frequently tempted to place the cart before the horse and to believe that we'll do good works and the belief will come. We're called to have faith, and by exercising that faith, for the works of Jesus to flow through us so that others might see and know and experience the love of God. We open our hands, we open our hearts, we open our minds, we open our doors to all because we truly believe that Christ Jesus has welcomed us into glory everlasting, into a relationship with God. Into a relationship where we have nothing to fear because Christ Jesus took the penalty we deserve. Into a relationship where we have nothing to fear because all are welcome if only they will say yes, profess their faith in Christ Jesus. If only they will do this, they are welcome. All are welcome. My brothers and sisters, you have heard the proclamation. The Holy Spirit is working on your soul even now, today, this very instant. Many of us have been in the church for decades. Some of us have only come through a door recently. Wherever we may be, we all need to hear the call of Christ to live in faith, to respond to the belief, to say yes to the call yet again, and to step out in faith. I encourage you on this Resurrection Sunday, on this Easter Sunday, to take a moment. If it is your first time or your 50th time, it matters not. Take a moment to say yes to the call of God, yes to the call of Christ, and step out in faith, knowing that no matter where you go, God will lead you. And as you witness to the love of God to all, others might see and know the Savior who died for them. Yes, indeed. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. If you believe it, act on it. In Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries.
Copyright 2011 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved.
For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.